This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. A recent Consumer Reports survey found more than 75% of Americans support increasing renewable energy. And in states where coal-fired power dominates, adding more solar energy would be good for the environment and the economy. But, as Brittany Patterson reports, weak state policies across the Ohio Valley are casting some serious shade on the solar energy industry.
When Jenny and Brian Cayley decided to move to a family farm in Preston County, West Virginia, they thought a lot about what type of farmers they wanted to be.
We decided to come here and be in charge and do the farming. We went ahead and made a list of values, and one of those values was to minimize our fossil fuel use.
Installing solar panels was high on their wish list. And after 2 years of planning, earlier this fall, Possum Tail Farm began running on sunshine.
So it's up on top of the roof. It's 52 panels. I did crawl up there to check it out once, and I will not do it again. I'll leave that to the professionals.
The Cayleys decided on an 18-kilowatt solar array, which now powers their home and farm storefront. Mm-hmm. Anything extra they produce gets credited to their power bill. But while going solar was in line with their values, figuring out how to pay for the system was no easy task. The Cayleys qualified for a federal grant that covered a quarter of the installation costs and a low-interest loan from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Without each of those, it would have been impossible for us financially.
One thing that wasn't available to them, help from the state of West Virginia.
We offer very few, if any, incentives. I think we're at a big disadvantage compared to our neighbors.
Jamie Van Ostren is the director of West Virginia University's Center for Energy and Sustainable Development. He says across the Ohio Valley, state adoption of solar incentives and pro-solar policies looks like a patchwork quilt. And as a result, not only is it harder to afford a solar system, but experts say the region could be missing out on huge economic benefits. And consumers have few options to combat rising power costs.
If customers are able to get their own solar, that's a hedge against rising electricity costs. You're going to be able to generate your own electricity and pay your utility less because you're basically buying fewer electrons.
Experts say there are two policies states can adopt that can incentivize solar installation, a renewable portfolio standard, and allowing third-party solar installation. Most of the region's states have one or both, but West Virginia and Kentucky have neither. A renewable portfolio standard, or RPS, requires electric utilities to get a certain percentage of electricity from renewable sources. That creates a demand for renewable energy and can improve the economics of solar installation. Autumn Long is program director of the nonprofit West Virginia Solar United Neighbors.
So in states with strong renewable portfolio standards, solar owners are actually able to sell the green value of that solar energy through a system called solar renewable energy credits. And they can be very valuable in states with robust renewable portfolio standards.
When states allow private, third-party developers to install solar systems, it can make it easier for schools, churches, and local governments to afford them.
A power purchase agreement allows them to install solar with zero upfront cost, potentially lower their energy bills from day one.
While Ohio allows these kinds of arrangements, Kentucky does not. And in West Virginia, third-party development is actually illegal. Long says, as a result, job opportunities could be at stake.
The solar industry is blowing up.
Solar installer is the single fastest growing job in the country. And employment data show states like Kentucky and West Virginia are lagging behind their neighbors.
The demand for this job is just skyrocketing.
And some hope the Ohio Valley could become the next manufacturing hub for the industry. That's how Dan Sawmiller sees it. He directs energy policy for the Natural Resources Defense Council in Ohio and has been working to convince regulators to allow utility American Electric Power to build a huge solar project.
It's an opportunity to show the benefit for these kinds of communities like you find in Ohio and in Kentucky and in West Virginia, to show that, you know, clean energy can provide economic benefit while also protecting the environment, lowering costs for electricity customers, and the list goes on.
He says the hope is that this 400 megawatt commitment could convince solar panel makers and other manufacturers to set up shop here. Back at the farm, the Cayleys are quick to note installing their solar system was also a good investment, despite the lack of state-level incentives. Brian says if energy prices remain steady, the system will pay for itself in about 15 years. If prices rise, they make out sooner.
The life of the system is 25, 30 years. And so there's a lot of time there yet in that future that then becomes all free energy, essentially.
By his count, his rate of return is a sunny 7% or more, better than investing in the stock market. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. It's 7:50. In the weather forecast for West Virginia, we're expecting increasing cloudiness today. With a chance of rain by this afternoon, high temperatures will be in the 40s to the low 50s. Rain likely tonight, possibly mixed with some snow in the higher elevations, temperatures falling into the 40s and the 30s. Tomorrow, it's going to be mostly cloudy, with rain and snow gradually tapering off. Highs tomorrow will be in the mid-30s to the mid-40s.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Pajamagram Company, offering 26 matching holiday pajamas for the whole family, including dogs and cats, with Snoopy, Star Wars, and Grinch themes, in knits, fleece, and flannel. Learn more at pajamagram.com. And from Capital One, offering a variety of credit card options with features for a range of customers, from foodies to travelers. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, N.A.
The Farmington mine disaster in Marion County occurred 50 years ago this week. As Molly Bourne reports, politicians, union officials, community members, and families of the late miners observed the anniversary at a memorial service on Sunday.
It was a crisp, clear afternoon in Mannington as hundreds gathered to remember the 78 men who died here on November 20th, 1968.
21 found freedom from the fires beneath the ground. It took 10 long years for others, 19 never found in the mine.
That's Tom Briding singing his song, Farmington. Union officials placed wreaths with black ribbons near the memorial that bears the miners' names. Each victim's name was read aloud during the event. 21 miners were able to escape the explosion at the No. 9 mine. The company sealed the mine 10 days later, and the bodies of 19 miners were never recovered. The disaster led Congress to enact the Federal Coal Mine Health and Safety Act a year later. The new law increased the number of yearly federal inspections in coal mines and allowed officials to issue fines or even criminal charges for violations. It also included support for miners with black lung. Joe Megna was 16 when his father was killed in the explosion. Megna's dad, Emilio, was 48, and it was supposed to be his last shift before quitting the mines altogether. He had plans to open a gas station in a nearby town.
He's still in the mines. He's one of the 19 bodies that was never recovered. It's a good thing that it brought the new law in, but that was a heck of a way to bring it in.
Megna himself went on to work 30 years in the mines before he retired.
I'm lucky as hell to be here. I'm glad that the people showed up that showed up here. We've been here in snow, rain, sleet, wind blowing. This is God bless us today. It's a beautiful day here.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is from Farmington, and he lost an uncle in the explosion.
You just want to make sure that the people that are still making policy, whether me in Washington or in West Virginia here, that they understand you cannot relax the safety rules and safety laws. People paid with their lives for the laws that were changed, and to thinking you're going to go back on that and relax them would be a travesty.
Families of the late miners filed a lawsuit in 2014, alleging that the mine's head electrician disabled a safety alarm on a ventilation fan, and that the company knew but hid the details. The suit is still pending. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Molly Bourne in Mannington.
Tears and joy for those whose lives were spared. Prayers for their brothers remaining there in the mind. Number nine. For 9 days and nights, those fires went on to burn. 10 mornings later, this news their families learned. They've sealed the mine. Number nine. And in the year that followed, the survivors organized a team to find the bodies of their brothers where they lie in this mine. Number nine. And they opened up the slope in the fall of 69. And those brothers of the fallen, they were the first to walk inside this mine. The number nine. Mining coal and digging for the bodies of every living soul who died in the mine. Number nine. And after 9 more years of mining, all but 19 there were found. And to this very day, they remain under the ground in this mine. And some never knew the peril fate held for them that day. And some were found together where they tried to walk away from the mine. The number nine. They would not die in vain. A tragedy like Farmington would never be again like in the mine. The number nine. Where 21 found freedom from the fires beneath the ground. 59 uncovered, 19 never found in this mine. The number nine.
That was Tom Briding playing his song Farmington in Mannington this weekend to remember the lives of 78 miners who died 50 years ago this week. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.